Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Well, I tell you what, that is an old sting. I respect to Alice Canton, but I might just, I have to double check that. I thought we changed it, but...
Well, it's not Alice Canton, but it is Like a Roundtree.
Yeah, hello, Leica, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
It's just so glary, and the sun behind you.
I thought it was streaming behind me.
I sworn you were Alice Canton. My apologies.
You know, we've never been seen in the same room together, so...
It's true, certainly not this one.
Well, hell.
Tell us, firstly, how you're doing, and secondly, what we're talking about today.
I'm doing quite well. We've got some shows to talk about today. We've got a handful of one-person shows, and... Gonna end with a look at what's ahead of us in the darling month of May, which, as we all know, is not only New Zealand Music Month, it's also the New Zealand Comedy Festival.
It's a lot of month.
It's a big month.
It's a whole lot of month.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of month. How can we fit it all together? But we're gonna try.
It dares to act like the middle of the year, but it's there's still another. It's
a whole other month before it's the middle of the year.
It's a haughty month.
But, it really is.
But tell us what you're seeing.
First, before we get our noses too stuck into the mind of this month, I'd like to cast us back to April, because it's been a hot minute since I've been here. It's been a little bit. So just before we had Anzac Day, we had this show at Q Theatre called Voices from Gallipoli.
Right.
Which is this one-person show. Takes us through... bunch of different locations in and around World War One front lines, looking specifically at the Anzac soldiers that was there. It was a really, it was a very intense performance. It was seven different monologues. Yeah. You have one that was like, it opened as sort of a memorial, a commiseration of what had happened and what was to come with wars since. Yeah. There was one that was like a soldier on the front line being really giddy for battle, but then ultimately going over the top and then boom, brains out, lights out. There was this old doctor giving the nurses the charge order, and as it progressed, you just got this sense of the humanity of war, which is just lessening people to cogs in a machine, in a way that was really stark and really compelling. It was written really, really beautifully. I think as a show, it could have been a lot faster. It could have been a lot tighter.
Yeah.
Some of those monologues started.
When you said seven monologues, my body constricted, and I thought about being there.
I
hope they're really good monologues.
You know, for the most part, they really were. I think a couple of them could have just been edited a little bit and just shortened up and gotten to each of their points a little bit faster. But it kind of put all of my favorite parts of like MASH and Blackadder Goes Forth and all of these old like war comedy drama stories that show you the beauty of humanity at the same time as the horrible miasma that war can become. I think especially right now, in a time where it's looking like bad things do be happening across the world.
Ooh, yeah.
And I don't enjoy it.
Wonder if total side note, I'm gonna don't mean to waste your time, but I do wonder whether we'll start to see a different approach to, you know, like we were so into World War II movies for a while.
Yeah.
Wonder if we'll start to see less of that.
I wonder. I think it's an interesting question, and I think it's a question that the show really kind of pokes at. I don't think it necessarily answers, but I do think that it's a good kind of read of, like, there was still definitely, like, elements of the story that were very interesting and very compelling. I don't think that there is, like... Especially because it didn't... a lot of war stories can, I think, glorify war. And this one really stripped all of that away. And you got to see, the naked face of the people making some of the decisions and pushing people into harm's way just so that, three British soldiers could go and keep living and drinking tea and all of this kind of stuff. So there's that very interesting dichotomy that this show is playing with that I think is... something that I like seeing from a topic that can be as contentious as this in stories. So that was so we had a bit of fun with that one. It's a show that is increasingly touring. It'll be coming around the mountains, I'm sure, at any kind of
It's Mark. What's his name?
It's not Mark Hadlow. It's the other one.
No, the other one. The other one who, you like, because I'm old, he used to be on all the political sketch shows.
Yes, he did.
From Once Upon a Time. Yeah. Someone will text in his name. Or Harry might even Google it and subtly tell us his name.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
What else you see?
So I also saw, last week, I saw a show called My Name is Moo.
M-O-O?
M-O-O, like the noise that a cow makes.
Okay.
So this
was the character. No.
The character is not a cow.
Okay. Thanks.
The character is a human woman, and it's the story of this woman growing up from the age of 7 to 24, I think it was, and it's told non-linearly. So you'll have a scene that's her as it started off as her at like contemporary age, so 24. She's got her job. She's interviewing for her job. And it's kind of like on the cusp of success. And then it jumps back and you see her at 7, you see her at high school, you see her like 8 and 10 and growing up, and you start to see all of these like threads that are following through her life, but also in a sort of general sense, a lot of young women grow up and kind of have thrust on them. So it talks a lot about like diet and weight culture and like identity and being kind of finding for yourself. It's finding yourself. It's this coming of age story at its core that was told in this. It's very Fleabag-esque, especially like Fleabag in the original like National Theatre one woman show version, where she's jumping from kind of character to character as they're having conversations, but it's Moo through and through. It was a show that I think was it was touching on a lot of really interesting topics, and the way that it was telling its story was really fun and interesting. But I think that ultimately it was the script was letting it down a little bit. I think it wanted to do a little bit too much, and it was trying to reach for like tackling all of these big topics, but none of them, it didn't. If it had just picked like one or two, it would have been a lot more effective.
You mean like it didn't solve anything?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the end of it kind of jumped to this conclusion of like, oh, and now I have realized I've come to this point of self-fulfillment and I know who I am and what I want to do. But there was no real like moment of clarity in the show. It just sort of like,
I floundered and now I'm all right.
Yeah, it felt very much like a thing that had come to fruition for the sake of the audience, more so than for the sake of the story, so that it would be like tied up nicely. But performance was really lovely. It was performed by Emma Cushing, who also wrote it and co-directed it along with Isabella Hoskin. Also want to shout out the lighting designer, Ray Longshore Park, and the sound designer, Connor Matogia, who worked really nicely in tandem with each other and really elevated the show, because it's a lot of, there are moments where not very much is happening because it's, you know, one person just kind of doing this monologue, but there would be the lights just like fluctuating across the stage, and they had LEDs going, so it was color wash, just like whoop, 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 whoop.
Cool.
And the sound was working really nicely with it, and it made the show just feel more alive and more eventful. It was really nice to see how it was like able to elevate it like that.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, very fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this team does next, because they're clearly very talented,
and I
think that they just need more time to cook, and we'll have something really, really special. I can see it.
All right, and you'll tell us about it, I'm sure.
I absolutely will.
Was Mark Wright the name we were looking for?
Mark Wright!
Yeah. I believe you're so right.
There we go.
That's the right W. That is the right mark.
Whoa, look at that.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just had to take a moment at how good that joke was. I got some stuff coming up for us as well.
Hey!
We got Comedy Fest, as I was talking about before, is hot on our heels.
Yeah. And ready to... I am ready to get some free mayonnaise.
You know what? I've been thinking about that all week.
I've been thinking about that all year.
The second that June rolls around, I'm thinking about next May.
Yeah. If you haven't been to the Comedy Festival before, it's sponsored by Best Foods, and there's buckets of the stuff.
They throw it at you.
Yeah, in containers.
In containers, yeah. It's in their little jars. It's not just loose mayonnaise that you have to kind of like scoop with your hands and put in your pocket.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Maybe I should,
you know?
I should suggest that to the Comedy Festival next year. It's a show of its own.
Absolutely.
Please continue.
So, coming up, I had the great fortune of talking to Rhiannon McCall, who is a... comedian who is from my home turf of Christchurch, has since moved to Melbourne, and so is bringing her most recent Melbourne show over here, back home for Comedy Fest. It is called Nosferatu, Looking for Love.
Yes, I follow Rhiannon on Instagram because I'm a fan.
Yes,
and
she's very funny.
I love all of her. Like, if you've seen those Christmas time like improv. Mm-hmm. All non-male cast type of things, like what's it called? Like Lust Island and those sorts of things.
Yes, she's
funny and so clever.
Yeah, she's incredible.
I'm all about this.
This is her newest one. This is my first time seeing her stuff proper.
Cool.
And so I was truly just caught by the image on the roster of shows, which is just her dressed as Nosferatu, and I was told that it takes her like 90 minutes to get into this. Like,
she's got so much hair.
Yes, she does.
I'm not just being jealous. She's got huge.
She puts on this full bald cap, like tapes her hair back to her back, and like
it's wild.
Fully paints herself white, becomes this.
She looks like, so much like Nosferatu.
Nosferatu vampire, full goth. She was literally saying about how like in a show. Some of the audience were like old goths and were seeing how she was sweating, and they were like, been there. So if you're a goth or an ex-goth or a goth adjacent, you'll love this.
I'm a goth adjacent. I've got photos of myself in like, you know, teen goth garb, but I was a part-timer. I was a part-timer.
Absolutely.
But I was very into it, so.
I mean, it's such a fun scene. Mm. The premise of this show is Nosferatu is just a guy. He's just like us, and all he wants to do is find himself a lovely dame.
That's right.
So if you want to be flirted with by an 1,000-year-old crusty vampire, this is the show for you.
You're speaking our language here.
Yeah, it's outrageous. It's hilarious. I got to see a preview of it from one of her previous seasons.
Yeah.
It's so funny. The way that she like handles this character is pure gold.
And she's a total master of crowd work as well. When she does these improv shows, Rhiannon is like the... she's kind of like the boss. I don't know what you call it. Like the boss of the room.
The MC, the host?
Yeah, the host. Yeah. And she absolutely holds the room in her hand. Like, and I can't wait to see this.
I love that. And it's also directed by Abby Howells.
Really?
Who is also coming to Comedy Fest with her own show, The Cave.
Starts
tomorrow night, same night as Nosferatu, which they're both on from the 5th to the 9th.
Double or nothing, I reckon.
Absolutely. Quick fire, a couple more shows that I'm really excited for in Comedy Fest. We've got Barney Duncan and Ella Hope Higginson, doing a show called Two People on a Stage in a Kitchen, but there's no cooking and we're both wearing evening wear.
Yeah.
They did this show, I think, for a one-night-only practice run a month or so ago. And I didn't get to see it, but from what I heard, just like the wildest sketch and clown.
You really never want to miss Barney Duncan.
No.
And I've seen Ella... I've seen a rehearsal of one of her shows, and she's amazing too. So the two of them together. But Barney Duncan, you know, there's some comedians every year I'd just like, well, I'm not going to miss that.
No, yeah. And I've had the great pleasure of working with Barney, and he's just so lovely. Yeah. It's, absolutely. I'm going to be checking this out. We've got Benny Feldman is a one-liner comedian from the States who's a comedian with Tourette's. And as a person with Tourette's myself, I love seeing the representation. It's
great.
And he's just so hilarious as well. So he'll be also 5th to the 9th of May. We've got Booth the Clown, who I met in one of the fringe circuits a couple years ago. An incredible clown. From Wellington.
Yes.
Very big, like, cabaret vibes. Their show Kissing Booth is coming to Q Theatre, I believe.
Good name.
We've also got Eddie Izzard is coming. here for Comedy Fest before she comes back later in July for her one-person show of Hamlet.
Oh my God.
So Susie Idi Izzard, the remix, the first 35 years, for one night only later this month. And then we've also got...
I wonder if there'll be like a little encore of maybe some Darth Vader jokes.
I would... Oh my God, I'm so excited. I hope so. I want to see... do you have a flag?
We only have 5 minutes left till the news.
We have to wrap
things up.
Nosferatu.
Wow, that was really... Thank you. Well done, Harry. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We've got a producer now, and this
was that subtle enough?
Some hard line stuff going on. So, all right. Well, is there one more you want to mention?
One more that I want to mention is Goblin Girls, hosted by Ioana Cosgrove. It's one of the shows that inspired the creation of Nosferatu, Looking for Love, and nice. I believe it's just a bunch of whacked out, like drag-esque femme comedians doing weird as hell characters.
Yes, you gotta see it.
So excited for it.
All right, Comedy Festival website, go. Thank you, Leica.
Thank you so much.
See you in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, see you in a couple of weeks. I'll give you all the funny news.
Okay, great.
Ta-ta.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.